You're listening to Leaf Filter Radio, and the guru of gutter protection himself, Chris Counihan, is here to take your most pressing leaf-related questions.
Hey, everybody, Chris here. I understand we have Ron on the line. Ron, where are you calling from?
Uh-oh. Ron, are you calling from a ladder?
Well, I was. I wanted to ask Chris what I need to do to get my gutters ready to have leaf filter installed.
Oh, Ron, you don't have to do anything. A leaf filter trusted pro will come out and clean out your gutters, realign and seal your gutters, and install leaf filter, America's number one gutter protection system.
So I didn't need to get on this ladder?
Ron, leaf filter trusted pros are in your neighborhood and ready to help. Just visit leaffilter.com/day to schedule your free gutter inspection and get up to 30% off.
Thank goodness. What was that site?
That's leaffilter.com/day for your free gutter inspection today. See representative for warranty details. Promotion is 20% off plus a 10% senior or military discount. One discount per household.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome in Sports Grid, college football full circle right here on Sirius Channel 159, radio affiliates across the country. Thanks for joining in. I am Drew Martin, joined by Mark Zeno. And if you missed anything from the Saturday college football slate, we got you covered. Over the next hour, we're going to be recapping the big time matchups from Saturday from a betting perspective. So, Mark, follow him on Twitter, at Mark Zeno. I'm on Twitter, at Drew Martin Betts, at SportsGrid, at SportsGrid TV. Mark, overall, man, Saturday, it was a big slate of games. I believe you won more bets than you lost. How was your Saturday overall?
Oh, it was good, good. Cashed on Clemson, cashed on, who else did I cash on? Georgia, laid the points with Georgia against Tennessee. And what was one more? There was one more I forgot. Oh, boy, what was it? My kidder. Oh, the Iowa-Illinois under. We stayed on that trend. Because as long as they keep posting him, like, in the 30s, like, I'm going to continue to take the under. So I think, actually, this week they started at 27.5, which is probably a better number. So that said, the game I lost was Oregon State. A lot of people I know lost on Oregon State, but, you know, it was a good Saturday overall, to say the least.
Sure, and actually you brought up a game we're going to be recapping here. To start, Georgia Bulldogs go into Knoxville and beat the Tennessee Volunteers 38-10. Total was 58.5. It stays under, but Georgia wins, and they cover the 9.5, dominating fashion here. Back-to-back national champions, the Georgia Bulldogs. They got Georgia Tech on deck, then the SEC championship game against Alabama. Hey, if they win out, the playoffs, even if they lose one, who knows what can happen. But overall, Mark, what'd you take away in Knoxville, 3:30 CBS game with the Bulldogs looking strong?
Well, this game broke down exactly how I said it would. And I said that Tennessee might keep this thing close for a quarter. And then Georgia's just going to do that sumo wrestler thing where they sit on top of you and choke you out for air and you can't come up and you end up dying. And that's kind of what happened to Tennessee. They just got completely outclassed. And they were not in the same class as Georgia. And I get it, going to Knoxville is a tough place to play, and I'm not saying it's not, but when you're that much better than Tennessee is, yeah. And all you know, respect to Joe Milton for an effort. He's not Hendon Hooker, and he's not that good. So, yeah.
Sure, and Beck did throw for just under 300 yards and 3 touchdowns, leading the Bulldogs offense, guys. So, yeah, Georgia on to Georgia Tech. Next week, we got next game up. We'll head to Ohio State and Minnesota in the Horseshoe. This one went down Buckeyes 37. Gophers just 3 points. They kicked a field goal in the fourth quarter to not get blanked here. In Columbus, Henderson, McCord combined for 4 touchdowns. And the number 3 ranked Ohio State Buckeyes here, they beat Minnesota 37-3 again. They got Michigan up next. What'd you take away from Columbus today, Mark?
I mean, this wasn't a game that, you know, Ohio State had anything to worry about. So they did what they needed to do. If you are Michigan, all you're worried about is covering number 18 in Ohio State. You cover that dude, you're going to win the ball game. If you don't cover him, you're going to be in trouble. It's that simple. That's the only way to beat Ohio State is to block 18, not let him off the line of scrimmage, not let him. In fact, you know what? You're better off just lock him in a hotel or keep him on a team bus. That's probably the easiest way to stop was.
Yeah, and the big game coming up on Saturday. And, of course, we're talking Ohio State, Michigan here. And recapping the last game, Michigan and Maryland on Saturday. This was a little bit closer. The Terps giving Big Blue a little bit of a fight. They Michigan wins 31-24 here, Mark. And they kind of escaped with the win on the road there in College Park. They don't come anywhere close to covering the 19.5 and 50.5. Does get up and over. So over betters cash in. Michigan wins the game. Maryland covers. What'd you take away from College Park?
Look, I mean, when I looked at this game, I wrote down early in the week on my sheet, Maryland plus 20.5, 19.5, whatever it was down to. And I morphed my bet there and looked at it and said, if I was going to play the game, I'd take Maryland in the first half plus 10.5 because I figured at home they'd have a lot of energy and they'd be able to keep it close in the first half. Credit to Maryland because they were down 23-10. They got back in the thing, and I didn't think they had any shot of getting back into it. I turned the game off at halftime and said, yeah, I don't need to pay attention to this. Michigan is going to do what they do in the second half and just steamroll teams. And Maryland got back in it, made them sweat a little bit. So Maryland ends up with the cover. Not the way I thought it would. You don't often see that, though. I think, you know, when you play the small team against the big team, right, in their home, usually when they hang in close earlier in the game. They don't make comebacks because that team that's that highly ranked is good at not letting people get back in the game. So credit to Maryland there. But Michigan escapes, and now their season's on the line this week.
Big one coming up. Can't wait for that. Kicking us off on Saturday, Michigan and Ohio State. Another team that has a big game coming up this upcoming Saturday, Florida State. And guys, there's a big storyline here as actually the Seminoles win this game 58-13 over North Alabama. So dominating fashion, even though they were down 13-0 in the first quarter. And their quarterback here, Mark, goes down, Jordan Travis, likely out for the season. So they're going to be going with a backup against Florida. But did you take anything away from Tallahassee on Saturday?
Florida State did what they needed to do to keep their undefeated season intact. I mean, look, if they run the table, they're going to get in. It doesn't matter who's the quarterback. So whether it's Tate Roadmaker or you know, anybody else, if they can win the next two games against Florida and against Louisville in the ACC championship game, the committee can't keep them out. You can't keep out an undefeated conference champion just because their starting quarterback is hurt. So they still control their own destiny. If they lose one of the games, guess what? I think the committee's life gets a whole lot easier. So they'll be easy to leave out just because of, hey, that team is going to get rolled anyway. So, and it doesn't mean, there's an argument to say even when Florida State gets in, they're going to lose in the semifinals to somebody in the top three regardless. But that said, you know, Florida State ticket on them to win the national title, I could pretty much set on fire at this point.
Did you have that? You had a ticket on them to win it?
I still do. I mean, it's plus 900. I got it back on the second week of September.
Well, if the backup comes in, looks really good against Florida, who knows, you know? This stuff.
Stranger things have been known to happen, but I don't like my chances.
I mean, really, Jordan Travis, he was a good player, a good quarterback overall, but it's not like he was, you know, carrying the team on his back type deal, Mark. It's there for the taking. Like, if the kid comes in, plays well, by all accounts, he was a highly recruited kid there for the Noles. See if Mike Norvell and company can put together, what, two straight wins. They're going to have to beat Florida on the road in the Swamp and then Louisville in the ACC championship game. If they win those two games, they're likely in the playoffs. They'll get that extra practice time for the young quarterback and then be up against a powerful opponent in the playoffs. So guys, short break, more recaps on the other side. Sports Grid.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome back in. College football full circle. Drew Martin, Mark Zeno, breaking it down. If you missed anything on Saturday, we got you covered. Sirius Channel 159 listeners, radio affiliates across the country, thanks for joining us as we're making our way down the list here. We just hit Florida State, the injury to Jordan Travis. They got Florida on deck. two teams that also have their rivalry games on deck. Washington and Oregon State, guys, Conference of Champions game here. And this was one of the more competitive games from Saturday, really, in a weather-affected game here in Corvallis, Mark. We saw number 5, Washington, the Huskies, go on the road and win 22-20 over the Oregon State Beavers that were ranked 11. However, they were the favorite, -1 in the hook. 62.5 was the total. It stays under. And I said weather affected in the intro. It was raining pretty much most of the game. It was a light rain. It did affect it. You know, wet ball, wet field, things of that nature, Mark. But I'll throw it over to you, man. Washington, Oregon State from Corvallis, Oregon. Huskies win 22-20.
If you would have told me before the game that Oregon State was going to hold Washington to 22 points in the game, I would have smiled from ear to ear and started counting my money. That's just the reality of it, right? Hard to hold that Washington team to that few amount of points. So give credit to Washington's defense. They played really well. Damian Martinez ran like a beast. And really, they could not throw the ball very well. And it had nothing to do with the weather, but, you know, just had a lot to do with the Washington pass defense, and they were able to keep Oregon State at bay. You know, of course, they had that safety that ultimately that 2 points ended up being the difference in the game. I mean, look at Oregon State. They held Washington scoreless for a half of football where Washington State wasn't leading by 40. You know, like, I mean, Oregon State did everything defensively you needed them to do against one of the best offenses in the country and couldn't come out on top. So very much a very difficult, you know, set of circumstances for Oregon State to lose that game. I mean, Oregon State is not going to end up on a New York. Well, maybe they will. They probably should. But when you look at a team whose 3 losses are to Washington, Washington State, and Arizona in the deepest conference in America, man. And by the way, that was when Washington State was good. They were ranked. You know, and they have wins over Utah and UCLA, you know, ranked Utah, ranked UCLA. It's a program. Jonathan Smith is going to have a job with the Beavers. So he's the guy who might get pulled out of there, by the way.
Yeah, I mean,
like if I'm A&M, I'm looking at that kind of guy.
You know, they don't have any 4 or 5-star recruits on that roster. And how good they are, that speaks to coaching, man. I feel like the actual fundamentals, the X's and O's. So you're right, Jonathan Smith, he might be one.
Smith went to Oregon State, right?
I'd have to look it up. I'm not 100% sure. Is that what?
That's the hard part about getting him out of there. Oregon State. Let me just double check.
Might be one of those things in life. You know, if you're happy, stay happy type deal.
Yeah. No, he went to Washington. Sorry. No, wait. He was the previous quarterback's coach that's right. He did. I was right. He played at Oregon State and he was the OC and QB at Washington before taking the Oregon State job. So he played at Oregon State. And that's the hard part is to get him out of there, right? Like, to pull him out of a school that's his alma mater is really, you know, that's right. He had Chad Johnson and TJ Houshmandzadeh on his teams when he was quarterbacking there.
Oh, yeah, I remember that. They went to the Fiesta Bowl. Yep. That was back in the day a little bit.
He was the MVP of the Fiesta Bowl that year, like 2001.
Oh, yeah, good times for sure. Yeah, and we're talking Oregon State here, and I think if they beat Oregon, heck, they might head back to that Fiesta Bowl. And sure enough, speaking of their rival, who they'll play this upcoming week, 49-13, that was the Ducks winning in dominating fashion over the Arizona State Sun Devils. They cover the 24.5, 53.5 was the total. Oregon almost gets there by themselves, but it does get up and over. Ducks, maybe a look-ahead spot, some would have said, but it didn't matter. Bo Nix and company win, and the game goes over in Tempe. What'd you take away? Ducks and Sun Devils Saturday.
Quack, quack. Don't step in front of the Oregon Ducks. I'll say it again. They're the best team in the country. I don't know how people want to have an argument about this because of the stupid loss column. Like, just objectively, it just tells me you haven't watched them play. Again, they play in the deepest conference in America. They have the number one offense in America and a top 15 defense. What more do you need to know about the Oregon Ducks that, you know, doesn't prove to you that they are the best team in the country?
Maybe the loss last year to Georgia, right? Dan Lanning and
what does that have to do with this year? What does their loss last year have anything to do with this year?
I don't think it necessarily does, and it snowballed on them anyway. I think the final score looks worse than it actually was, but I think that some people would bring that in. And I guess the question of, if you're playing Georgia on a neutral field, are you really going to have Oregon go off as the favorite? That's a serious question.
No, you're probably not. They're not going to go off as a favorite, but they wouldn't go off as a favorite against Michigan either. They would go off against a favorite against everybody else. They'd be a favorite against Ohio State. Granted, a short one, probably 2.5, but they'd be a favorite over Ohio State. They'd definitely be a favorite over Florida State. They're a 7.5-point favorite over Washington. So what does that tell you?
Are they really? That's the look-ahead line in Vegas?
It's already posted right now for the game. They're a 7.5-point favorite because they are the best team in America. Like, you're not going to do it to Georgia and Michigan just simply because the logo on the helmet matters when it comes to putting a spread. The same, and again, they'd be favored against Alabama. Absolutely, they'd be favored against Alabama.
I don't know about probably that one.
Probably a short favorite on a neutral field. Probably a short favorite. Yeah. But again, that's more about the logo on the side of the helmet than anything else, Drew. That matters. Yeah. If you make Alabama, if you make Georgia a dog, everyone's going to run and bet them out of principle. And I'm not saying Oregon would beat Georgia straight up, but when you're talking about setting a line, where the public resides generally has an effect on what the line is.
Oh, absolutely. That's part of the game for sure. I don't know that they'd be the favorite against Alabama either, but it part of the equation is it's because Alabama would have to beat Georgia to get into the playoff. And at that point, I think that would change a lot of the dynamics in making the number. Well, but
if they were playing this coming Saturday on a neutral, just a head-to-head game, that has nothing to do with playoffs or anything like that, I would make Oregon a 2.5-point favorite. The only teams I wouldn't, by my numbers, and this is just, you know, sportsbook, the only two teams I wouldn't make them a favorite against are Georgia and Michigan. Everybody else they're a favorite against.
All right, let's fit one more in here. Texas, Iowa State. Texas wins 26-16, 10-1. The Longhorns minus 7.5. They cover that. 46.5 was the total. Stays just under. Did you take anything away from Ames on Saturday?
Iowa State's offense stinks. I mean, I know a lot of people back to Iowa State and in a wrong situation, and a lot of teams go to die up there. But when Iowa State couldn't take out Kansas, they weren't taking out Texas.
Yeah, this Longhorns team, another team that, hey, playoff aspirations, guys, and keep in mind, they went into Tuscaloosa and beat Alabama, so that's going to be a situation if Alabama does beat Georgia. What's the committee going to do? Florida, Missouri on deck, guys. We got Louisville, Miami as well. Stick with us.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome back in. College football full circle right here on Sports Grid. I am Drew Martin, joined by Mark Zeno. Follow Mark on Twitter at Mark Zeno. I'm on Twitter at Drew Martin Betts. We got at Sports Grid, at Sports Grid TV. Matt and Frank doing a great job in the producer's role. Sirius Channel 159, radio affiliates across the country. Thanks for joining us. Next game up here as we'll pass through the Alabama Chattanooga game as Alabama beats another FCS team the week before, Auburn, and the Iron Bowl setting up with Auburn coming off of the loss to New Mexico State, a pretty embarrassing loss there, but Alabama going off as the minus 14.5-point road favorites in Jordan Hare for the Iron Bowl. We'll move down here, head over to the east side of the SEC, Mark. It was the Florida Gators on the road in Columbia, Missouri, catching 12.5. And giving the Missouri Tigers all they could handle, 33-31, they go down. So does their quarterback, banged up. And as you can see here on the graphic, 59 being the total, gets up and over. Missouri hangs on and wins. Gators tickets cover. What'd you take away from Columbia on Saturday?
Give some credit to Missouri. Look, they were ranked in 9th in the college football playoff poll. Does anybody really think they're the 9th best team in the country? Like, honestly. Like, outside of, and I preface this all the way saying, outside of Louisville, I'm going to go down the next couple of teams that they're ranked ahead of. They'd be a dog to Penn State if they played them on a neutral field. They'd be a dog to Ole Miss if they played them. They'd be a dog to Oklahoma. They already were a dog to LSU, right? They'd be a dog to Arizona. I mean, you know, like, objectively, they're not the 9th best team in the country. That said, I give them a ton of credit because they're putting up a bunch of wins. I will say this much. I hope they spank Arkansas next week. I really do. Because when they get into a New Year's Six Bowl against a team that gets left out, maybe like a Washington or Oregon or whoever, you know, or Ohio State or Michigan, they're going to get smoked. They're going to get absolutely smoked. And the number is going to be a lot shorter, and I can't wait to bet against it. Like, that's just my only takeaway more than anything, that they're going to be overvalued as a team because they're really not that good. They have the benefit of playing in the SEC East. So, obviously, you look at their loss to LSU and to Georgia, that makes a ton of sense. But nobody else in the SEC East is all that good. So, you know, if they had caught Florida in the beginning of the year as opposed to the end, might have you gotten a different result in that game? Maybe. And Florida played them close. And what does that tell you? Because Florida ain't that good. And Graham Mertz ain't that good. So, optically, they're going to finish the season 10-2, and they're going to look like a top 10 team, but they're really not.
Louisville, Miami up next here, number 10 ranked. Louisville Cardinals win 38-31 on the road in South Florida. This was a tight game. Louisville had to score 15 points in the fourth quarter to get the win. But Louisville, hey, they get the win, they get the cover. It's -1.5-point road favorites. 46.5 was the total. Gets well up and over that. What'd you take away from Miami Gardens on Saturday, Mark?
Well, again, same exercise about Louisville. They'd be a dog to all those teams I just mentioned, right? Because they're not the 9th or 10th best team in the country. So that said, the look-ahead line for Louisville, Florida State in the ACC championship game prior to 3 o'clock on Saturday, Florida State was laying double there. I think it was like 12.5 or 13. Now it's down to 6.5 with the injury to Jordan Travis. So what I'd really like to see happen is Florida State win a close one over Florida, right? You know, 23-20, whatever it may be, something like that. And Louisville this week to smoke. Who are they playing this week coming up?
Governor's Cup.
Kentucky. Yeah. Louisville to smoke Kentucky. And so that Florida State line can get down even lower. Then I can back Florida State.
Makes sense. We got rivalry weekend coming up, guys. And next game we're going to be talking here, Penn State and Rutgers. Big Ten matchup here. Rutgers kicking a field goal in the first and the second quarter, and that was it for the Scarlet Knights. 27-6, that was the Nittany Lions on top of the Scarlet Knights. They do win. They cover the 18.5. 39.5 stays under. What'd you take away from Happy Valley on Saturday, Mark?
Another quarterback injury. Drew Aller went out in this game. So Penn State was using their backup. Part of the reason why it was so struggling early. They had a 10-6 lead at halftime, never had to look back. They just ran the hell out of the football. They've beaten Rutgers now 17 straight times. Rutgers has not beaten Penn State since the, George W. Bush administration.
It's been a little while there for Rutgers, but we'll see if the Scarlet Knights, 6 wins, so they're going bowling. Guess it's not all lost there. Next game up here, Mark, 14th-ranked Oklahoma Sooners go on the road to Provo, Utah, and win 31-24 over BYU. BYU still sitting at 5 wins. They'll need one more to get to bowl eligibility. But Oklahoma wins 31-24. They don't come anywhere close to covering the 24.5. 58 was the total. So what'd you take away here as the game stays under from Provo, Utah, Mark?
I couldn't believe the spread in the game. Like, I showed you this before. I do a sticky note each week. Sticky note. And I just said on Sunday night, in the commercial breaks while we're doing the show and we're talking about games, I start writing down teams, things that pop off the board to me. And when I went through, BYU was not initially on this list, but it was added to the very bottom. I promise you, I don't even hold it up. See BYU? No, you guys can't see it. There it is. I have very sloppy handwriting. So there we go. BYU, plus 24.5. Okay? What the hell was BYU doing catching 24.5 points in a game where they were home and it was a 10 o'clock start time, local? That game kicked off at noon. What did I do? Did I mess up my camera? I think there we go. See if I can get myself back in focus here. I'm still here, guys. I'm not out of, well, my brain isn't out of focus, but everything else is. So my point simply is, like, that number was insane. Like, and I kept asking a couple people, I go, what happened that they're laying 24 in Provo, which is a tough place to play for teams, right? It's not easy. Now, night games at Provo are really, really tough, but, you know, 24 points was insane. And, oh, by the way, Oklahoma only won that game on a 100-yard pick six. BYU was going in for the go-ahead score. And that's how Oklahoma won it. So Oklahoma almost lost.
Crazy outcome there, guys. 31-24, Oklahoma on top. Georgia State and LSU, the next game we're going to cover here. And I'll tell you this, LSU on a roll, 56-14. They win against the Panthers of Georgia State. And something to take away here, Jalen Daniels, over 400 yards, 6 touchdowns. Guys, they're going to try to get him the Heisman here, Brian Kelly and company, because LSU already bowl eligible. They're not going to the SEC championship game. Why not get your quarterback the Heisman? Watch out for that this upcoming week against Arkansas. Look for them to run it up offensively. That's what they did here against the Sun Belt team. Did you take anything away from the Bayou on Saturday, Mark?
No, you said it. This was a Jaden Daniels Heisman game. It'll be a Jaden Daniels Heisman game this coming week. Nothing else matters to LSU. They're going to go to a bowl. You know, Brian Kelly will obviously try to win it, but this is all about Jaden Daniels winning the Heisman. And after this game, he went from a plus-money favorite to a minus-money favorite, leaping Bo Nix as the favorite in that category. And I don't know why a week ago when he was, like, still, you know, plus 600, I didn't jump all over it. That was stupid of me. because I kept telling, you know, it was talking to Ben Stevens on the early line, and, it, you know, we were talking about the Heisman odds on Wednesday. And even at that on Wednesday, he was, like, you know, plus 400, plus 500, like, what? I just, we kept saying that he's got these numbers that have only been Lamar Jackson and Johnny Manziel ever did. And they both won the Heisman. So, you know, I missed the boat. Shame on me. But Jaden Daniels is going to win this thing, and good for him.
Let's head to the Big Ten up next. Iowa and Illinois, a game I think you were involved with. 15-13. That's how it finished. Hawkeyes win in Iowa City. Illinois sitting at 5 wins on the season, so they're going to need to find one more here in Iowa. A surprising 9-2 straight up. 15-13, that was the final here, Mark. Iowa does not cover the -3, but the game does stay under. Illinois and Iowa, take anything away from Iowa City, Mark?
Yeah, Iowa just earned the right to get their ass kicked by Michigan or Ohio State in the Big Ten title game. Congrats. I had the under in this game, and for what, 5 straight weeks? They kept posting Iowa totals in the 30s, and for 5 straight weeks, they all went under. Now, I was definitely sweating at the end of this thing. I had 30.5. And, oh, by the way, there were 2.5s out there, Iowa State -2.5. Their kicker, next point, final touchdown that worked. And that cost them money because it ended up being a 2-point game instead of a 3-point game. And so, you know, very much so. Was this game a little bit of a sweat at the end? But, you know, here's what I do going forward. I just wait till the Big Ten championship game and just take the Iowa team total under and be done with it.
Fair enough. Hey, we got one more we can fit in here before the break here, Mark. Coming into it, it was a big-time matchup. Utah and Arizona. We saw Arizona playing some really good football right now, Mark. They win 42-18 over the Utes at home. They cover the 1.5. 45.5 was the total. Arizona almost gets there themselves. But Wildcats bearing down, winning in blowout fashion. Did you take anything away from Tucson Saturday?
Yeah. Another game on my sticky note. I don't want to go zoom in. That I had the over in Utah, Arizona, 44.5. And I'm like, oh, I'll take a contrarian over here. I think both the teams are going to score. And I never played it. Anyway, Arizona, one of the best spread teams in the country. Noah Fifita, really good quarterbacks, really elevated this team. Jed Fish got him going in the right direction. Utah kind of just ran out of gas after the game against Washington. Snaps a 6-game streak against them. Back with more here on Sports Grid.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome back in Sports Grid, college football full circle, recapping all the games from Saturday's slate, all the big matchups here, and then we'll take a look ahead towards some of the opening lines for rivalry weekend. I am Drew Martin, joined by Mark Zeno. Follow Mark on Twitter at Mark Zeno. I'm on Twitter at Drew Martin Betts. We got at Sports Grid, at Sports Grid TV. Wake Forest and Notre Dame up next. Notre Dame winning in dominating fashion, 45-7, covering the 24.5. 46.5 was the total. Notre Dame almost gets there by themselves. Up and over it is. Notre Dame wins and covers. Did you take anything away from South Bend on Saturday, Mark?
Remember after like 2 weeks of football when Sam Hartman was all the rage, was at the top of the Heisman vote, top of the Heisman, favorites when it was all said and done? Yeah, boy, that noise went away quickly, didn't it? That was the Anthony Richardson effect of last year. So take notes on that, folks. Whoever's starting to be the Heisman favorite after 2 weeks, don't do that. Anyway, so that said, I mean, you know, Wake's not a very good team, so there was nothing really surprising about all this. And, you know, again, Notre Dame, another team that, you know, as they go to their bowl game here, I'm curious to see who they're going to end up matching up with, because obviously they're going to try to put Notre Dame against another Power 5 team that's going to be an interesting matchup. You know, an 8-3, like, okay, give me Notre Dame, Missouri. Give me Notre Dame. Well, Notre Dame and Louisville have already played, so they won't do that. But give me Notre Dame, Missouri. That's like a bowl game that's a lot more equitably matched, right, than Missouri against anybody else who's a legit Power 5. So, you know, I'm curious to see where Notre Dame ends up in their bowl game when it's all said and done.
ACC matchup up next. UNC and Clemson. Clemson 31-20 over the Tar Heels here. Clemson moves to 7-4. They win and cover the 7.5. 59.5 just falls short. So unders betters cash in. Clemson betters cash in. Did you take anything away from Death Valley, South Carolina, Mark?
Yeah, one of my big plays this week laid the 6.5. I know it got the 7, but I locked in like on Monday or Tuesday. And look, I know Clemson doesn't have a number next to their name that says that they're ranked, but that conceivably is still one of the best 25 teams in the country. Why? Because they have a top 10 defense. So they're going to shut anybody down. They're a 7-point favorite again this week against South Carolina, and a huge revenge spot for Dabo and Clemson. Remember what South Carolina did to them last year in the last game of the season in Clemson? Yeah. Dabo took notes, and he remembers. Not 100% sure if I'm going to get there in Clemson yet. I got some work to do on it, but that's going to be a tough one. I mean, South Carolina this week only scored, what, 17 points against Kentucky? And his defense is like miles better than Kentucky. So, yeah, I'm going to sit here and I'm going to look to back Clemson again this week.
Next one up, the Sunflower Showdown, Kansas State in Kansas, 31-27. Is how this one finishes. And Kansas State wins. However, Kansas covers if you back the Jayhawks at home. Total lands right on the number of 58. Did you take anything away from the Wildcats and the Jayhawks on Saturday, Mark?
K-State can score. Will Howard and that offense are not bad. They're flying under the radar because they're not doing what they did last year, but that's still an offense that I want to back. And I've already circled them this week to lay the 11.5 in their matchup. So, I don't know. I kind of feel like K-State is, again, still flying a little bit under the radar. You know, as you get into bowl season, this is a team that wants to go out there and win a bowl. You know, they're not not going to learn both of these other biggers are. And oh, by the way, you know, when you have these teams that have 8 wins right now after this week, one more win gets them 9, a bowl win gets them 10. That matters to coaches. Double-digit win seasons matter to coaches for bonuses and things of that nature and everything else. So these are games that are important, and they're going to be coached that way.
Mark, we can fit in another one or two here. Oklahoma State in Houston, 43-30 in the Big 12 matchup here. That was the Cowboys on top of the Cougars. They cover the 6.5, 58 being the total. Skies up and over from Houston, Texas. Did you take anything away from Oklahoma State and playing some pretty good football here, the Cowboys beating the Houston Cougars?
Yeah, I mean, Houston had a 29 lead in this game and blew it. They only scored 6 from midway through the second quarter on. Wow. I moved back to Houston. We're not happy. Result, and it was unexpected at that. Yeah, but give some credit to Oklahoma State. Like, crazy to think that after 3 weeks of football, there was talk about Mike Gundy with one foot out the door, that his son was graduating, that he wasn't going to be there any longer, and they looked like they were headed for an awful, awful season. Alan Bowman, rather, took over at quarterback, and why is the running back's name slipping in my head? The elite running back for Oklahoma State, who they put in the same... Yeah, that's right, Ollie Gordon. They put him in the same sentence with Barry Sanders, which is aggressive, but still, you know, they've managed to put together a really good season over here, and you know, give credit to the Cowboys. The Pokes have played really, really well down the stretch.
Last one, we'll head Tulane and FAU to finish it out for the top 25 recaps here, guys. Before we look ahead towards rivalry weekend and opening lines, Tulane, the Green Wave, heading down to Boca Raton and winning 24-8 over the Owls of FAU. Take anything away from Tulane, Willie Fritz and company looking strong?
Yeah, that was one of the better Owl noises I've ever heard, is what I just took away from the recap of this game. So if you want to do that again, I'll give you the floor to do it again. But nonetheless, Tulane putting together another hell of a season. Willie Fritz and the Green Wave, 10-1, 7-0 in American. They're going to the title game there. So, Michael Prackett, he just played really well at quarterback, too. Really good passer.
All right, Mark, great breakdowns, man. We got some time here to take a look ahead towards opening lines of rivalry weekend. And, of course, it starts Mississippi and Mississippi State. We do have 2 MAC games on Tuesday, but talking the big matchups here, Ole Miss and Mississippi State. Actually, first, you want to hit the playoff bracket? Let's talk about this, Mark. We got Georgia at the 1, Ohio State at the number 2, Michigan number 3, Florida State 4, and then the 2 Pac-12 teams on the outside looking in as it stands right now at 5 and 6, that being Washington and Oregon. What are your overall thoughts here, playoff bracket, heading into this past weekend?
I mean, look, you know, Michigan and Ohio State are going to take care of one another and knock each other out. And then Washington and Oregon will take care of each other and knock each other out. So take the winner of the Big Ten, take the winner of the Pac-12. Both of those teams are going in. If I am Alabama or I am Georgia, I'm praying for Florida to beat Florida State or Louisville to beat Florida State. Because either one of those things happen, Florida State's out. Florida State has to run the table to stay in this thing. And I don't care what people say, that it's not a reason you disqualify a team because their quarterback got hurt. If Florida State is a one-loss conference champ or a one-loss non-conference champ, they're out. They're just going to be out. Because if Texas runs the table and Georgia runs the table, those are the other two teams in. Now, if Texas will... and Alabama runs the table and beats Georgia, that's where the committee has a real... I don't even think the committee has a real challenge on their hands. Objectively, I still think Alabama is better than Texas. The head-to-head matchup is going to put Texas in over them, and I understand that. I don't necessarily agree with it, but... because if you're asking me who the better team is right now, as we turn the calendar towards the first weekend in December, the better team is Alabama. Alabama's a better team than Texas right now. What you did in week 2 clearly doesn't matter. Alabama only beat South Florida 17-10, I think, in a game earlier this year. Does anybody care about that? No, they don't, because it was 9 weeks ago. So the point simply being that Florida State really can make this easier on the committee but difficult on a lot more teams by running the table. If they don't, you know, they're going to have a they're going to have an issue, you know, trying to figure out who the teams are. And then again, if Georgia runs the table, it makes it easy on the committee. And that's why this stuff always seems to work itself out one way or another. But I think that's the hardest scenario, that if Florida State gets knocked out and Alabama beats Georgia, you have a one-loss Georgia non-conference champ, a one-loss Alabama conference champ, a one-loss Texas conference, and only two spots left. Because the Big Ten champ and the Pac-12 champ are going in.
And what do you do in that scenario? I know you said it works itself out, and a lot of times it does. But let's just say all these teams run the table that are supposed to. Ohio State, Michigan winner is there. Let's just, for argument's sake, say Washington beats Oregon. Florida State runs the table the rest of the way. And Alabama does beat Georgia and Auburn. And therefore, you would have a one-loss Georgia team, a one-loss Alabama conference champion. And if Texas runs the table, you'd have a one-loss Big 12 champion that, oh, by the way, went into Tuscaloosa and beat Alabama. What do you do with those three teams in two slots? There is no right answer, Mark. But what does Mark Zeno do in that situation?
In that situation, and you're saying Florida State does not run the table?
They do. They do run the table. Okay. Let's say they win the next two games.
If Florida State runs a table, then both Alabama and Georgia probably would be left out. I mean, look, let's say Texas loses. Okay, let me give you this scenario. Big Ten winner, Pac-12 winner, both in, right? Florida State loses, they're out, okay? So you have two spots taken up here. And if you have Texas lose, Alabama and Georgia would both get in. So you need to have Pac-12 winner, Big Ten winner, Alabama and Georgia as your four. If Texas wins, runs the table, and Alabama beats Georgia, Georgia is automatically on the outside looking in because the committee has told us two things. Conference championships matter, and who you play in the non-conference or your strength of schedule matters. Georgia has not anybody, period. Texas played Alabama and won, okay? Alabama beat Georgia. Alabama, you can't put Texas in over Alabama for beating Alabama, but not put Alabama in over Georgia for Alabama beating Georgia. You can't do that. So if the head-to-head matters, and the committee has told us the head-to-head does, then Alabama would have a leg up over Georgia, and Texas has a leg up over Alabama, period.
In Georgia, the back-to-back national champions, trying to do three-peat for the first time since like the early 1900s, you're on the outside looking in. Sorry, Bulldogs.
Sorry, Bulldogs. That's what it is. Sorry, Bulldogs. You don't get to join Minnesota of the 30s as a team that won three straight national titles. I don't know what to tell. Like, nobody in Georgia wants to hear that, but that's just the reality. And the committee, it's very easy on them. So I want to know how SEC and Georgia fans want to justify Texas getting in over Alabama for the head-to-head, but Alabama not getting in over Georgia for beating them head-to-head. I mean, it's just what it is. I mean, all this stuff has essentially already worked itself out. Like, the committee should know of those six teams that we're looking at on the bracket right now, the top six teams. Two of those teams are going to get cannibalized from the Pac-12 and the Big Ten. So the only other team is Alabama and Texas. That's it.
I don't disagree with you. I will say the argument against it, though, is just, yeah, the committee has, you know, kind of put the conference champions up there, but the committee's also been very favorable to letting SEC teams in. I don't know if that's going to.
But again, let's remember, it used to factor when the SEC was stacked and had seven or eight ranked teams. It's not the case this year. It's just not. Like, if you're going to sit there and tell me your win over Missouri counts, I don't buy it. That's not a real, according to power ratings, that's not a top 20 power ranked team.
Let us know your thoughts, guys, at Drew Martin Betts, at Mark Zeno, at SportsGrid, at SportsGrid TV. Short break, more on the other side. SportsGrid.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome back in. College football full circle here. Short segment before we get to pro football full circle on the other side. Guys, Drew Martin, Mark Zeno breaking it down. Sirius Channel 159 radio affiliates across the country. Rivalry weekend. We do have two MAC games going Tuesday. We got the Thursday nighter in the Egg Bowl. Mississippi State. Ole Miss laying 11.5 on the road in Starkville. 56 being the total. And then a bunch of rivalry weekend games here, both on Friday night lights action and Saturday, full slate of games. Great weekend of college football up ahead. Mark, do you have any rivalry weekend games circled here that you're looking to get down on early in the week?
Yeah, Washington State, I'll take the points. This is a Huskies team that has played 6 one-score games as of late, or you know what? I think they ended up winning by 8 over somebody, or Stanford, whoever it was. Yeah, 9 with a late, very late score that didn't matter. And I think they got that score because Stanford went for it on like 4th and 2 from inside their own 20 and what do you call it? And didn't get it. So they had a short field, but I say all that to say Washington has played too many close games. They're going to play one more. You know, this is a game that obviously is important to both teams and both sides. And so point simply being, that's a game I think is really close. I told you about Virginia Tech. A really good defense. I'm probably going to lay the 2.5 against Virginia in that game. Auburn and Alabama, that total seems really low. It seems really, really low at 48.5. So, and Alabama may be able to do most of the damage themselves. But, you know, would 30-20 surprise you in that game? Would 35-20 surprise you in that game? It wouldn't. So, that's kind of what I had circled right now. Clemson, I might live the 7 against South Carolina as well.
Yeah, that Auburn-Alabama Iron Bowl game, yeah, sitting at 48.5. Maybe look up and over, although Auburn, man, offensively against New Mexico State was ugly. Don't know if they're going to get much better against Alabama. Guys, short break. We'll be right back with Pro Football Full Circle on the other side. Stay with us. Sports Grid.